You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Chilembo, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you clearly.
Ah, lovely, lovely. No, the problem is not on your side, Mfundisi. Don't you worry. The problem is not on your side. This problem is on my side. The devil is trying me, not you. It's definitely not on your side. All right, you heard our question for Mfundisi for today. How do you reconcile loving others with confronting them about their sins? How do you respond to that, Mfundisi?
Yeah, this week, I think we have been dealing with real-life questions and very important in our spiritual journey. How do you reconcile, with someone, lovingly? Yeah, reconciling with someone lovingly of their...
No, Pastor, that's not the question. The question is, how do you reconcile loving others when you love... You, as Pastor Chilembo, you claim to love me, but you confront me. You confront me about my sins. I go around killing and stealing and destroying like the devil. And then you confront me. You hurt me by telling me the things that I'm doing are wrong. How could you love me and still hurt me by telling me the things that I'm doing are wrong? So the person is asking, how do you reconcile loving others with confronting them about their sins?
Yeah, so this is one great important question, and the answer that we give here is the principle of love, which I should say that is emphasized in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 explains about love. My concentration is on the six. But even before I come to the six, this one says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, Paul is explaining about the principle of love. You come to this four, he now begins to explain that love is patience, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong. Then the six comes in to say, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. So when we talk about being confronted, we are doing, something is doing wrong.
Right.
But I want to show love to that person. If I do not tell others about their wrongs, the big problem that we are going to arise is, how do we practice our love? Because love does not delight in evil. And when I confront someone, in case someone is doing something bad, and I gather courage and confront that person, it does not necessarily mean that I hate that person. And the people who confront you on the wrongs are the people actually who are seeking good out of your life. So when we talk about how do we reconcile love and those who confront us, for me, I'm going to say that people who actually confront you are the people who really care for you.
Right.
They want you on the good side. They don't want you to be on the bad side of life.
Hmm.
And you know, one thing I should say is that as human beings, we don't like to be confronted. And anyone who confronts me, it's like those people, they are becoming bad to me. Anyone who tell me about the bad things that I do or certain behaviors which they don't want, I will try by all means to avoid such people, because Human beings, we have a tendency of not wanting to be confronted. All we want is to be told good things. Even when we are doing wrong, someone should just come and say, you're a good person, you're a good person. Mm. We know that there's something wrong. So my point is that if truly someone loves you, they will come and confront us. Even God himself.
Yeah.
God comes to rebuke us. The Bible is very clear. He tells us that I rebuke those I love. I rebuke those I love. I'm trying to open my Bible.
Yes.
Yes, I rebuke those I love. You find this in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 19. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Mm. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline.
Right.
You see how God puts it, eh?
Right.
God is love, and he loves us. He does not just leave us in sin like that.
Right.
He tells us, those I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Right.
He comes to correct us so that we can move out of the wrong side of the coin.
Right.
You see the dealings in the Old Testament, how God was dealing with the children of Israel.
Right.
Every time they moved out of the right path, he rebuked them by seven different issues,
right?
Different issues that had risen in their life. Sometimes it was a drought. Sometimes locusts would come in their field.
Mm.
Sometimes, you know, it was just pestilences, different kinds of diseases. Those forms of punishment or some things that were happening,
right,
they may appear as if God has abandoned his people, but he is trying to bring them back to himself.
Right.
So, to the questioner and all of us who are listening, I want to say that a person who confronts you, that one should be your best friend.
Right.
But usually we consider them as our enemies.
Okay. All right.
So now.
Yeah, go ahead.
So now, when you are trying to confront someone, let's put it now, it's me who want to confront someone, but I want to do it with love, and I want to build love, because I have said that confrontation, usually, you know, people may develop that resentment because I confront them.
Mm.
So always be humble. Humility is the rule of the day. As you speak to someone, show, you know, that humility coupled with courtesy, it will really show that person to say, okay, this one cares for me.
Do you want to share with us some example of
out
that?
Of my, example of this, I can go to the example of David and Nathan in the Bible, in the book of
David was a king. David was a king. Nathan was a prophet. David could have killed Nathan if Nathan could have spoken like Jesus. Jesus speaks and says, you brood of vipers, you generation of snakes.
Yes.
You are like whitewashed tombs full of worms.
Uh-huh.
And so the example of Nathan is not a fair example, because the human level was not the same. One was a prophet, the other one was a king. I'm talking about people who are of the same level. If Jesus is speaking to people in the same level, Jesus calls them a brood of vipers. He says to his own Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. So do tell me the example. How was Christ being humble there when he was correcting the scribes and the Pharisees? When he was rebuking Peter and calling him Satan, was he humble there?
So now, before I come to that one, the principle that I want to use on David and Nathan is the approach that Nathan used on David.
I understand, Mfundisi.
Recognizing that David...
Sorry, Mfundisi. Everyone knows the story of David and Nathan. What I'm suggesting to you is that principle does not apply to everyone, because Nathan was a mere prophet. He had to speak humbly to his king. He was not speaking to his companion or his contemporary. There is no way we could use Nathan's approach to his king to me talking to my brother or my fellow believer. That example is a very terrible example of how we're supposed to treat one another. Nathan had to, or else he was going to lose his head.
Yeah, so in my, you know, these steps, I wanted to suggest three. Yeah, three steps. So the Nathan one was number one. The reason why I wanted to use it was his approach. He did not just tell the king to say, you have done this, you are wrong. But he had to bring a parable to help the king realize that there's something wrong. And then there is where Jesus now confronts people.
I need you now, to answer the
people
the
that Jesus confronted.
Sorry,
yes.
Mfunis,
I need when you look at the...
Sorry, Mfunis, I need you to clarify this issue, yes, of Nathan. Why are you giving us an example of a person who had no other option but to speak humbly? Why is Nathan a relevant example to people who don't have kings? We don't have kings now. We're not approaching people as our kings. Why are you giving us the example of Nathan?
The reason why I give example of Nathan, there are people who may react. You know, they want to be protective. They have, you know, they are occupying their position. They think that no one is above them and can control them. So such people, you need to approach them with humility. So that's the reason why I'm bringing that one. You can see that Nathan came in with, you know, he brought in a parable to help the king realize that there's something wrong. And then he comes and puts a point to say, this the person that have done this, it is you, O king, with all the respect that was given him, but he helped him to realize the sin that he had done.
So you're saying when we approach our seniors, we must speak humbly to our seniors, to our people who are superior to us. Is that what I'm hearing? Are you still there, Pastor?
If you just confront them, so coupled with humility, we may help them to realize the path where they belong. Then the second one is now the point that Jesus used. And when you look at the people that Jesus confronted, he looked at the people who were well knowledgeable of the things, the wrong things they were doing. So when he stands up and say, you sons of vipers, he is pointing to the very people who must champion the gospel, people who must call others to salvation, but they became stumbling blocks. So we may have people that we know that, okay, they know that this thing is wrong. They know that they are supposed to do this. Such people, if you confront them with the Jesus method, they will actually come and realize that they are wrong. And the third one is now
I need to just clarify. So you're saying you're saying the option is to call people sons of snakes. That's the second option, right? No.
I'm not suggesting, because we may not use those words today.
Why not? Is Jesus a bad example? Why can't we use those words? Those are Jesus's words. Isn't Jesus our example?
Yeah, Jesus is our example.
So why can't we use his example? Why can't we use his words?
Yeah, Jesus is our example, but I cannot just stand and tell people you are useless sons of snakes.
Why can't we do
that? You must look... Yeah, we have already talked about the issue of contemporary. So if I am speaking to someone, we are used to these people. We know we have been together and they know what is supposed to be done. I may use words with, you know, the words that may appear to be harsh on them. But at the end of the day, they are learning a lesson to say, oh, I am doing a wrong thing.
So we can call them sons of snakes, yeah?
Yeah, for that one, for me, I leave it to our Lord Jesus Christ, who was dealing with the Pharisees.
Why are you why do you say that, Mfunis? Are you suggesting that Jesus did a bad thing? If Jesus
he didn't do a bad thing.
Why would you then say you wouldn't do what Jesus did?
You even, I'll be very open. Even today, there are certain people that you openly say to say you are going into destruction because of your love for sin, because of doing this and this.
I'm asking you now.
Be like this.
I'm asking you now, Pastor. Uh-huh. You're saying you wouldn't do what Jesus did. You are suggesting that you do better. Jesus is not doing good.
To call people today, you go out and say, "You sons of snakes!"
Yes.
You see the issue is we also need to bring in the issue of context, and the context that we have here is that the very people who should have been championing the gospel that Jesus was standing for are the ones who were actually derailing, removing people on the path.
I'm still
and
asking,
because
Pastor,
of that,
I'm still asking, mm-hmm. Pastor, how do you say you wouldn't advise us to use Jesus as an example? With one breath, you say Jesus is our example. With the same breath, you say you wouldn't do what Jesus did. You're suggesting there's something pejorative about Jesus' way. And yet he's supposed to be the way, the truth, and the light. He's supposed to be, it's his footsteps that we're supposed to be following. And yet you're encouraging us not to follow those steps?
All right. Jesus taught us a lot of things that we must do.
Right.
Yes, Jesus taught us a lot of things that we must do.
But this issue, Mfundisi.
Yeah.
When
we are talking about confronting people, here is what Jesus taught that we must do.
Right.
In the book of Matthew chapter 18.
Right.
These words were spoken by Jesus himself.
Right.
As he was talking about correcting the wrongs or confronting people, he says, but if he does not listen, now this is where he says, go and rebuke your brother. When you have seen them that they have committed something wrong, go and rebuke your brother. So now he says, if they do not listen, now this is now Jesus explaining to us, you have gone to ask, to show others their sins or the mistakes that they have committed.
We have not disputed that point, Mfundisi. Matthew 18 is well and good. The second one, the third one, and one is taken to the church. That's fair and good. Where I'm stuck is when the pastor says he wouldn't advise that we do what Jesus did. That's where I'm stuck, Mfundisi. It's a bit of a problem for me. I can't swallow it. Just help me swallow. What do you mean when you say you wouldn't advise that we do what Jesus did? You wouldn't do what Jesus did in our context. Are you suggesting that the Jesus' context is outdated? Just help me there.
So when I say context, you look at the people that you are dealing with.
Right.
You look at the people that you are dealing with. Hmm. So if the people that you are dealing with, you are 100% sure that these know the position and this is what they must stand for.
Right.
You can stand with all the confidence and rebuke their wrongs. But there are certain people that, you know, you may have a point, but the way you package your message, you may end up losing even that person you could have won.
Yeah, the same way Jesus did it in Mfundisi. So what I'm suggesting is Jesus spoke, and those people he spoke to, he lost them. But he spoke the truth. I'm asking is, when Jesus spoke, you're saying the way he spoke is not advisable?
So, I think if you had given me time to explain my suggestion, I had brought, because there are methods that you can use to help someone, to confront someone.
Explain this.
If we stick to one method.
I need you to explain.
If we stick to one method. Yeah, if we stick to one method, we will lose the whole world.
So the unfortunate part,
because not everyone. Hello?
No, Mfundisi, we cannot move on to other examples after having referenced Jesus as a bad example. Every other thing is insignificant. It's irrelevant.
Unfortunately, okay.
If we're going to down
Jesus, let me put it this way.
If we're going to down Jesus and then we say Nathan is better than Jesus, that implication is very,
very
worrisome.
Are you going to allow me to explain? Because it's me who has said it.
Yes, go ahead and explain it, please.
Yes. So I was suggesting different methods one can use to confront sin. And I started by saying there is a Nathan method.
Just explain this one, Mfunis. We heard what you said about Nathan. Just explain this Jesus part.
All right. Okay. So now, Jesus confronted the Pharisees, the teachers of the law.
Right.
I should use now that term. Jesus confronted the teachers of the law. What were the teachers of the law doing? They were blocking people who should have come to salvation.
Right.
They were blocking them not to come to salvation.
Correct.
So he confronted them by calling them sons of vipers.
Okay.
He used that method to call them sons of vipers.
Right.
Now, as I am giving different forms of suggestions, this is one method we can use to confront sin. But I am saying that do it with care, because you really need to understand that not everyone is at the same level. Not everyone is at the same level. Jesus used that method. We have to use that method. As we use that method, we also need to bear in mind that not everyone is at the same level. When you are using the method of calling people sons of vipers, you really need to be sure of the people that you are talking to. Otherwise, you may end up spoiling even the work of winning people to the love of God. So I did not suggest that we don't use it. Jesus as our example. In fact, even the third method that I am bringing on the table, this method was actually given by our Lord Jesus Christ as a method that we must use to correct the wrong. And as we do all this, the principle is that we keep showing love. I started with 1 Corinthians chapter 13,
okay.
That love does not rejoice in evil. So in Matthew chapter 18, he says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their faults. So as you point out now, you are trying to show them you are alone, meaning that you are doing it in private.
Okay.
The two of you, you point it out. He says, if they listen to you, you have warned them.
Okay.
But if they don't listen,
let's leave it
one
there.
Or two alone.
Mfundis, our time is up. Let's leave it right there. I'm sure everyone is okay, is au fait with the Matthew 18 issue there and solution. However, I want to remind you again the context of the question. The question is, how do you reconcile loving others with confronting them about their sin? So it was not necessarily asking about how do you confront them. It was not about...
All right.
Yeah, it was just the person who was asking the question was asking your position of saying you love me and then your position of confronting me. These to this person who's asking the question appear to be conflicting one with the other. And so they were asking you to help them bring them together. But our time is up, Mfundis, we need to leave it right
so
there.
I think I made that point in the first statement.
I understand.
That if you love people, if you love them, you will not rejoice in evil.
I understand, Mfundis. We need to leave it right there. Our time is up, Mfundis. Thank you very much for your time, Mfundis.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.